had just come up from the press room. After the turmoil of the day, the room had quieted. Most of the reporters had left, and the shaded lamps shone upon empty tables and a floor strewn ankle-deep with papers. Nearby sat the city editor, checking over the list of assignments for the next morning. From an adjoining kennel issued occasional deep groans and a strong whiff of savage shag tobacco, blown outward by the droning gust of an electric fan. These proved the cartoonist, a man whose sprightly drawings were born to an obbligato of vehement blasphemy, was at work within. Mr. Bleak was just beginning to recuperate from the incessant vigilance of the day's work. There was an unconscious pathos in his lean, desiccated figure as he rose and crossed the room to the green glass drinking fountain. After the custom of experienced newspapermen, he rapidly twirled a makeshift cup out of a sheet of copy paper. He poured himself a draught of clear but rather tepid water, and drank it without noticeable relish. His lifted head betrayed only the automatic thankfulness of the domestic fowl. There had been a time when 6 o'clock meant something better than a paper goblet of lukewarm filtration. He sat down at his desk again. He had loaded his pipe sedulously, with an extra fine blend, which he kept in his desk drawer for smoking, during rare moments of relaxation when he had leisure to savor it. As he reached for a match, he was meditating a genial remark to the city editor, when he discovered that there was only one tan sticker in the box. He struck it. The blazing head flew off upon the cream-colored thigh of his Palm Beach suit. His naturally placid temper, undermined by 30 years of newspaper work and 2 years of prohibition, flamed up also. With a loud scream of rage and a curse against Sweden, he leapt to his feet and shook the glowing cinder from his person. Facing him, he found a stranger who had entered the room quietly and unobserved. This was a huge man, clad in a sober uniform of gray cloth, with silver buttons and silver braid. A Sam Brown belt of wide blue leather marched across his extensive diagonal in a gentle curve. The band of his visored military cap showed the initials CPH in silver embroidery. His face, broad and clean-shaven, shone with a luster which was partly warmth and partly simple friendliness. Save for a certain humility of bearing, he might have been taken for the liveried doorman of a moving picture theater or exclusive millinery shop. In one hand he carried a very large black leather suitcase. "Is this Mr. Bleak?" he asked politely. "Yes," said the editor in surprise. His secret surmise was that someone had died and left him a legacy which would enable him to retire from newspaper work. This is the unacknowledged dream that haunts many journalists. Mr. Bleak was wondering whether this was the way in which legacies were announced. The man in the gray uniform set the bag down with great care on the large flat desk. He drew out a key and unlocked it. Before opening it, he looked round the room. The city editor and 3 reporters were watching curiously. A shy gaiety twinkled in his clear blue eyes. "Mr. Bleak," he said, "you and these other gentlemen present are men of discretion?" Bleak made a gesture of reassurance. The other leaned over the suitcase and lifted the lid. The bag was divided into several compartments. In one, the startled editor beheld a nest of tall glasses. In another, a number of interesting flasks lying in a porcelain container among chipped ice. In the lid was an array of straws, napkins, a flat tray labeled cloves, and a bunch of what looked uncommonly like mint leaves. Mr. Bleak did not speak, but his pulse was disorderly. The man in gray drew out 5 tumblers and placed them on the desk. Rapidly, several bottles caught the light. There was a gesture of pouring, a clink of ice. And beneath the spellbound gaze of the watchers, the glasses fumed and bubbled with a volatile potion. A glass mixing rod tinkled in the thin crystal shells, and the man of mystery deftly thrust a clump of foliage into each. A well-known fragrance exhaled upon the tobacco-thickened air. "Shades of the Grail," cried Bleak.